welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Thank you very much for joining me on the show today. We're going to be having a discussion about slice on your ground strokes. This is kind of in honor of Ron Miller, who is my guest last week, and we had a little debate back and forth about the pros and cons of topspin versus slice in our teaching. And so today we're going to have a topic all about slice. I'm going to tell you guys how you can use it more effectively, some strategies that you can use to implement slice in your game, and some other topics having to do with approach shots, etc. So it's going to be a good show. Real quickly, before we get to that content, I want to remind you guys about a couple of different ways that you can connect with EssentialTennis.com. You can subscribe to the Essential Tennis Podcast and Essential Tennis Live on iTunes, and that's really the best way that you guys can continue to get both shows. You'll automatically download both shows as they become available, and it's just an easy way to organize them and keep them together. You can also become a fan of Essential Tennis on Facebook by going to facebook.com/essentialtennis, and you can also follow Essential Tennis on Twitter at twitter.com/essentialtennis. So three great ways to follow the website and be updated and up to date on what's going on at essentialtennis.com. All right, let's get started with today's topic. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction. All right, let's get started with today's show. And again, our topic is going to be all about slice. And I'd like to give a quick thank you to JXG on the forums at EssentialTennis.com, who initiated this topic. He listened to last week's show where I was talking with Ron Miller about the differences between topspin and slice and wanted more information having to do with exactly how to use it, when it's appropriate to use, etc. And so we're going to be following an outline here today. I'm going to kick things off by telling you guys why I like slice. And hopefully none of you got the impression last week that I'm against slice. I'm not. Slice is an excellent tool to have, and it's very useful in a lot of different situations in tennis. And we're going to be talking about those. So anyway, we're going to start off with why I like slice. We're going to then talk about five different general strategies or point situations where slice really makes a lot of sense and different areas where you guys can use slice effectively. And then if we have time after that, we're going to be talking about adding side spin to a slice shot. And JXG also had a specific question about approach shots, which we're going to talk about generally as well as part of the general strategies part of the show. So let's start off with why I like slice, and I have three reasons here. First one is, generally, it's easy to direct in place. It's a very easy shot to aim, and the reason for that is the technique is very simple. It's a forward racket path. We're taking the racket back essentially right behind the oncoming ball, a little bit above it, and we're making a very forward moving motion with the racket towards our target. So it's a very direct swing. If you watch the pros hit this shot, they're hitting at a lot more pace than most of us are, and they're hitting with a lot more spin. So you'll see them use a lot more of a swing. You'll see them use a very long swing typically and really cut underneath the ball. For most of the rest of us that are below a 5.0 level, it's a much more simple stroke than that. And the pros, when they use it, it's more simple as well as a topspin shot. And that was one of Ron Miller's main things or main reasons why he likes to teach the slice first, is it's relatively easy to pick up. And that's because the technique of it is pretty simple. So that's a reason why I like to use it myself. That doesn't mean I like to teach it a lot, however, and I'm still going to maintain that I will teach topspin first, and it's important for me that my students learn how to hit topspin first and get comfortable with driving the ball or hitting with topspin before I teach them slice. However, that being said, I like slice because it's easy to hit. It's pretty simple. It's also very reliable and easy to hit in both an offensive and defensive situation. And especially in a defensive situation for myself, playing at a 5.0 level, personally, that's where slice most commonly comes out for me, is when I'm in a defensive situation. And I very much appreciate slice when I am in a defensive situation because it's very easy to put back in play. It's very reliable. When you guys are watching tennis on TV and you see a professional player miss a slice shot, I mean, it really should be counted as an unforced error just about every time somebody misses a slice, unless they're in a very obvious, terribly defensive position, and they're just being pulled way off the court and barely getting to the ball. Certainly, there's times where we don't expect people to get the ball back in play. But on a more routine shot where maybe they're being stretched out wide, but it's not terribly difficult, it's not close to being a winner, a slice shot, it really becomes very reliable. Once you get good at hitting a slice, it's a very reliable shot. And as I've said before on the podcast, it's what I use a lot of times predominantly on my backhand side. Not because I want to necessarily, but because I'm just a whole lot better at it. I'm very steady and very consistent with a slice. And so I very often use it a lot in my singles play because it's kind of just old faithful for me. The topspin shot, I really have to be in a very good position and very comfortable feeling to be able to pull that off consistently. So I very often go to the slice. So that's why I like slice. Now let's talk about general strategies. And this is going to be a large part of today's show. And I've got five different strategies here or different point situations where I think it's appropriate to use slice and maybe even better to use slice than topspin. The first one or the first general strategy that we can use using a slice is hitting a deep versus a short shot. And a slice shot has a lot of variety to it. There's a lot of different types of shots that we can hit using slice. There are with topspin as well, but there's kind of an element of surprise that we can achieve or maybe trickiness with a slice that's not quite the same with topspin. And that being said, that's kind of one of the reasons why I cringe to see people trying to learn slice first, is because they're trying to be tricky and fancy with it, etc. And a lot of times that just leads to errors. However, if you can take the time to drill a good slice backhand and become competent with it, being tricky or sneaky can become an actual weapon or an actual tactic that you can use. I would not recommend, however, going out and making that your initial goal is, oh, I'm going to learn slice just so that I can hit, you know, the kind of fake drop shot or the surprise drop shot kind of shot that you'll see the pros do, where they set up and pretend that they're going to drive the ball and hit it hard and then end up hitting a drop shot. That's the type of shot that if you're below like a 4.0 level, I would really hesitate to say that would be a good idea for you to work on. If you're at a 3.0 level or a 3.5 level, you want to drill and practice more basic shots, a drive cross court, and get comfortable at hitting that before you start trying to get fancy. And that's why a lot of times I cringe about people working on their slice, because it's a lot of times it's because they're trying to be tricky or fancy. And if you're below a certain level, that's just not a good use of your time. But that being said, with a backspin shot, it's very easy to deviate the depth of the shot if you're good at it. It's very easy to place the ball, as I said earlier, which is it's one of the reasons why I like slice. And so it's very easy to kind of drive through it strongly and hit the ball deep and very close to the baseline and keep it low. And using a very similar technique and virtually identical setup with your racket and your body, you can also really come underneath the ball softly and hit it very, very short. So the difference in range between those two shots, the very deep one and a very short one, a drop shot, given that we're using the same setup to hit both, it makes it very useful. And it's a way that we can surprise our opponents. Oftentimes, and this is one of my favorite plays in tennis, oftentimes you'll see a professional player come forwards on a short, low shot. You'll see them go to a backhand and open up the face in their backswing so that you know they're going to hit slice. And they'll do kind of a fake deep shot where they'll take their racket back and it looks like they're getting ready to hit a drop shot. And then they end up hitting it deep instead. And as a result, you'll see their opponent kind of guess. They'll see the open face and say, oh, they're going to hit it softly. They're going to hit it short and start running forwards. And then the person who was hitting the low shot will then hit through it, hit it deeply, and hit right behind them, and their opponent basically runs right past the ball. So that's just an example of a way that you can use an open face shot, a slice shot, to be able to kind of trick your opponents. And the variety of depth, a deep shot versus a short shot, it gives you a lot of different options to be able to mix things up quite a bit. So there's general strategy number one is deep versus short. You can kind of fake a deep shot and end up dropping it. You can also fake a drop shot and end up hitting the ball deeply and close to the baseline. And so there's a lot of variety there and ways that we can mix things up and kind of confuse our opponents. All right, let's go on to strategy number two, which is approaching the net. And this is probably the number one way that I use slice, especially on my backhand side. I don't have the ability. I'm not good at hitting heavy topspin on my backhand side. So when I get a low and short shot and I'm moving forwards and I'm going to approach the net, very often I use slice. In fact, I would say most of the time I use slice. And as I said in last week's show, and I'll say it again today, I would rather have the ability to hit a strong topspin shot. I would certainly like to have the option of hitting either one. I don't like that I'm only really able to use slice on this shot and do it reliably. That being said, slice is a very good option when you do get a low and short shot. The reasons why are the ball stays low. On a topspin shot, the ball bounces and comes up off the court. And so if you don't hit it well, oftentimes the ball will kind of sit up and make an easy passing shot attempt for your opponents if you don't hit the ball well. It's also easy to place and direct, as I've said before. So on average, I aim closer to the lines on a slice approach shot than I do with a topspin one because I have a little more confidence that I can guide the ball and be more accurate because the technique is a little bit more simple. I'm not taking such an aggressive big swing at the ball as I would be on a heavy topspin shot. So I'm able to place and direct the ball and hit it a little bit closer to the lines when I do use slice as an approach shot. And thirdly, the ball travels slower on a slice shot as opposed to topspin, so it gives you more time to get close to the net and position yourself well to either to the right or to the left, depending on where you've hit your approach shot. So those are three reasons why I like the slice for an approach. And again, I use it on my backhand all the time. So the ball stays low, it's a little bit easier to place and direct, and it gives you a little bit more time to get close to the net. So that's general strategy number two, using the slice as an approach shot. Now on to general strategy number three, and that is the use of slice when you're playing against somebody who hits with heavy topspin. As I've mentioned before in this show, a topspin shot typically stays lower. It does stay lower than a topspin shot. It's going to stay low to the court, and because of that, if you play with somebody who has an aggressive grip or an extreme grip towards a Western forehand grip, or maybe they have a grip that's really turned up towards the top, towards an Eastern backhand grip, maybe they have an extreme grip on their backhand side, which is not going to be nearly as common for you guys as the forehand. But anyway, if you play somebody who has an extreme grip on either side and hits with a lot of topspin, keeping the ball low makes it more difficult for them to lift the ball. Basically, somebody with an aggressive grip does not want to bend. They don't want to get low. The farther and farther their grip is turned over, the more difficult it is to reach down and get low and get underneath the ball. The general rule of thumb is the more aggressive your grip is, the easier it is to hit high shots. So somebody with a Western grip is going to be very comfortable typically hitting the ball around shoulder height or waist height. anywhere below waist height and certainly below their knees is going to be pretty uncomfortable and something that they're not going to want to do, most likely. I personally hit with a semi-Western grip, and I actually like low shots quite a lot on my forehand side. However, if I was turned any farther over than that, I'm quite sure that I wouldn't like anything below my knees. So that's general strategy number four. Look for an opponent that has an extreme grip on either side, and that's a good time to use your slice, either forehand or backhand, to keep the ball low. All right, let's go ahead and go to our last strategy, and that is using the slice to change the pace of play. If you guys are a little bit higher level player, if you're a 4.0 or a 4.5, and you're getting towards the top of the NTRP rating list, chances are you're going to play a decent amount of people who love to hit the ball hard. And it's they have a kind of a favorite pace. And these types of players, oftentimes, when you try to out-hit them, when you hit hard at them, it's really what they like the most. And you're just kind of feeding the fire. The more that you try to match them and go toe-to-toe with them and hit aggressively back at them, the more they use your pace and just hammer it right back at you. So oftentimes, it's a good play to take a really aggressive hitter and don't give them any pace. Hit a slice. Slice takes pace off of the ball. It makes the ball travel slower, and it's going to force them to have to generate their own power. And oftentimes, the hard hitter or the really aggressive player loves to feed off of power. The faster that you hit the ball at them, the less work that they have to do to generate their own pace. And so the harder and harder you hit towards them, the more and more pace they send back at you. Now, this is a rather specific type of player. This is not everybody who's above a 4.0 level by any means, but you're going to play this type of player much more often if you are playing at a 4.0 level or above. If you're below a 4.0 level, this is not going to occur terribly often. However, that being said, as you continue to move up and as you continue to improve in your game, you're going to see this type of player more often. And it's somebody that's very, very difficult to out-hit and overpower. They're going to take your power and kind of slingshot it right back at you. So that would be another way or another reason to use slice. Take the pace off the ball, change the pace of play, or change the pace of the ball, and make them have to regenerate their own power and their own spin. Also along the same lines of in changing the pace of play, not necessarily against a player who loves to get power, but just in general to change the pace of play, it's nice to throw in a little change up and kind of change the rhythm of the point and change the timing for your opponents and make them kind of give them a different look. And the best baseball pitchers in the world are very good at this. You've got your types of baseball pitchers who have like their one pitch. A lot of times it's the fastball. And so they're kind of a closer type pitcher. And this is what they're really good at, is just throwing the heat over and over and over. You can only do that for so long, though, before good batters will start to pick up on it. They'll start to get their timing, and then you're in trouble. The best baseball pitchers in the world have a large variety of pitches, and they're able to mix it up and give the batter different looks, and they're not really quite sure what's coming next. Now, this is not a direct comparison to tennis. In fact, I would rather you guys win first with a simple strategy. I'd rather you guys go out playing a very simple, very easy to understand strategy, even predictable. Go out and only hit cross court. Try to hit as many forehands as possible if the forehand is your go-to shot. Or only hit to your opponent's weak side. If their backhand is substantially weaker, go ahead and tell them, listen, I'm going to hit to your, in essence, tell them, listen, I'm going to hit to your backhand all day today. And so you'd better be ready to hit 100 backhands in a row. I would rather you guys win with that kind of strategy first. But if you're an upper level player, or if you're playing somebody who's better than you and playing a predictable strategy is just not going to cut it that day, it's good to be able to give your opponents different looks, be able to switch up your game plan and come up with something different and try to throw your opponent off balance. So that wraps up the general strategies that you can use slice for. Again, in review, it was deep versus short. With a slice, a lot of times it's very easy to manage the depth of your shots, and you can in that way show your opponent a lot of different looks, hitting close to the baseline or hitting a drop shot. A slice number two is very good for approaching the net. The ball stays low, easy to place and direct, travels slower so that you can get close. The fourth one was, it's a good shot to use against a heavy topspin hitter or somebody with an extreme grip. And the last one was changing pace of play against a big hitter who likes pace. It's good to be able to change up the pace of play. And against somebody who's a very strong player and is not easily beaten, it's also good to show them different looks and not give them the same shot over and over and over again, and let them get comfortable and into a groove. Before we get to our last two topics having to do with slice, I just want to tell you guys quickly about the sponsor for today's Essential Tennis Podcast, and that is SomersetSportsPerformance.com. By signing up for SomersetSportsPerformance.com, you guys get a comprehensive eating and workout plan, and that includes everything. You guys get grocery lists and recipes, ways that you can eat healthy, and it's tailored just for you after you fill out a questionnaire and tell them a little bit about yourself. You also get workout plans, daily workout plans telling you what exercises you should be doing. There are videos demonstrating correct technique having to do with those exercises. And so between the eating plans and the exercise routines, it's really a full, you know, everything that you need. Everything you need to get healthier, to get in better shape, and to become a better tennis player. I mean, these are the types of things that can make the difference on the court. When you're playing a long match, being in better shape, being a healthier person can definitely help your tennis game. All of this comes for $9.99 per month, less than $10 a month, and you basically get the services of a nutritionist and a personal trainer, and that's just an incredible value. So go check them out, SomersetSportsPerformance.com. I thank them very much for their support of the Essential Tennis Podcast. All right, now let's wrap the show up with two more quick topics that JXG provided for us. The first one has to do with hitting some side spin on your slice shot. He asked, what are some advantages and disadvantages of adding side spin to a slice? Well, the advantages are you can make the ball trail away from your opponent or curve into them and make them kind of get jammed up due to the side spin on the ball. And this can be a very effective shot. This is a shot that Jimmy Connors used on his forehand side. He very often approached using a slice shot and would cut across the side of the ball or the back of the ball from left to right. He was a left-handed player. So not only would he come underneath the ball towards his target, but his hand and his racket were also moving from left to right to put side spin on the ball. He would hit this down the line on his forehand side, and that side spin would cause the ball to bounce and curve farther out to the left. So even though he was hitting down the line, the ball would curve off the court. And that was a very effective shot. And this is actually something that I will tend to do on my backhand side coming from right to left. I'm also left-handed, so I'll come from right to left. And I typically use this if the ball is lower. The lower the ball is, at least in my experience, the easier it is to come across the back of the ball and give it some side spin. So, I mean, those are the pros. The pros for adding a little bit of side spin is that it can be effective. It can be another look that you can give your opponents. It can be a shot that trails away from them or maybe kicks into them, spins into them. The disadvantage to this shot is it's definitely technically quite a bit more difficult to hit and to aim. You have to keep in mind that the ball is curving as it's in the air, so you have to give yourself more margin for error or less margin for error depending on which way you're spinning the ball and which way it's curving. So this adds more variables to the stroke, and adding more variables is something that I very often don't recommend, because it's just going to make it that much more difficult to make an effective shot. Now, if you're already good at hitting a regular slice approach shot, this could be something that you could legitimately try to add to your game. If you're just starting out trying to learn slice, I would discourage you from trying to learn this right away. Get good at a regular slice first, at a good, legitimate slice shop, and then you can play around with adding some side spin as well. All right, our last question that we're going to answer today from JXG, it has to do with approach shots also. He wrote and said, I was originally taught to hit a backhand slice down the line to the forehand of a righty as an approach. In practice, at a 4.0 level, this is much less effective than a cross-court slice approach to the backhand as long as you can move fast enough to cover down-the-line passing shots. The down-the-line approach to the forehand seems to set up a lot for a lot of people a cross-court forehand passing shot, the bread and butter of many players. Do you have any tips for specifically hitting the slice to the opponent's forehand? Well, yes, and JXG, the advice that you got is correct, and I think very good. It's not very often that that hitting an approach shot cross court is going to pay off in the long run. There will be times where somebody's backhand will be significantly weaker than their forehand, and so you'll want to put it over to their backhand side whenever possible. It might even mean hitting a cross court approach shot. And you correctly identified the reason why it's usually not a good idea. When you come forwards for a short ball and you're going to come to the net and you hit cross court, it's very difficult to move over to the side that you're hitting your approach on to cover down the line, which ends up being the biggest space of court by far for your opponent to hit to. So down the line makes it much easier to cover the courts and to cover passing shots. But as you pointed out, that doesn't mean that it's impossible to pass cross courts. You're right. A lot of players are very good and very confident at hitting a passing shot cross courts. So what tips do I have for hitting a slice to your opponent's forehand? Well, my first tip is depth, depth, depth. You got to get the ball deep in the courts. If you sit the ball up, if your slice shot bounces in the middle of no man's land, or maybe a little bit shorter, if you haven't really knifed it well to really keep it low to the court, it's going to be a pretty easy shot for them to hit a passing shot on. So you need to make sure that you put it close to the baseline so that they have to back up or take the ball on the rise in order to hit it comfortably. If you can force them back behind the baseline with your approach or force them to have to take the ball on the rise, that adds a much greater degree of difficulty in hitting an effective passing shot past you. If your slice is just average, though, and bounces well before the baseline and doesn't have a lot of backspin, so it's just kind of a mediocre shot, then a slice tends to just kind of sit there, and because it's not very fast, it's not very difficult to hit a passing shot on. So you need to work on your depth of your approach with that backhand slice. And my second tip for you is make sure that they have to move. Place it well towards the sideline. A common mistake that players around your level make is that they go into the net on a shot that's not particularly challenging to their opponents. And that goes right back to the depth as well. If your approach shot is not particularly deep, if it's not particularly wide, close to the sideline, if you don't make them move very much, a slice approach shot can very easily turn into an easy passing shot for your opponent. So we need to make sure that it's placed very well. And a backhand slice, if you're good at it, is very easy to place. So you need to do some target practice, aiming for a target, I would say about 3 feet from the baseline and maybe 2 feet from the sideline. That's a pretty aggressive target. Since you're a 4.0 player, I think that would be appropriate to aim for. See how consistently you can hit within a couple feet of that target. And by the way, if you're listening and you're a 3.0 player, I would never recommend that you aim for that spot. You need to give yourself 4 or 5 feet from either line as you're coming forwards to the net. But if you're a 4.0 level or above, and you're pretty good and pretty competent at hitting a slice backhand approach shot, You have to start practicing making it a more aggressive shot in terms of its placement. Put it closer to either line. Make them have to move for it. Put it deep in the court so that they're being pressured and pushed back. And that's going to result in a much easier volley for you and much less passing shots. JXG, thank you very much for giving us kind of the inspiration and the topics today for today's show. And hopefully that was useful to everybody listening. Slice shot, it can be very useful. I'm not against the slice by any means, but I will definitely continue to stand by my original stance, which was I will teach my students topspin first, or at least to drive first. I don't want my students opening their racket face up initially until they learn how to hit the ball strongly and confidently first. But that being said, hopefully today's show gave you guys some good ideas of ways that you can use the slice. We didn't really talk about technique at all. And that's something that I can do in a future show, is talk about the technique of hitting a good, effective backhand slice. All right, that brings the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 74, to a close. Thank you very much for joining me today and listening to the show. Remember to follow Essential Tennis at twitter.com/EssentialTennis. Be a fan of Essential Tennis at facebook.com/EssentialTennis. And you can subscribe to both my shows on iTunes. These are all ways that you guys can keep in touch with me and see what's going on and get the best use out of the website possible by seeing what new content is coming out on the website. All right, that does it for this week. Thank you very much, everybody. Take care and good luck with your tennis.